football on off the ball.
The rebuilding, the restarting process, I think he's taking on right now one of the most difficult eras of his entire coaching career, in my opinion.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
So good morning, Colm. How are you?
Hey, sir. How are you?
I also say, Arthur, good morning to you.
Morning.
So the Taoiseach was leading tributes to Patrick Corgan. It was one of those seismic retirements that happens not that often, really. Somebody who's had like a full 17-year career. The Examiner says he's departing on his own terms. We don't really know whether or not there's been a word from the incoming manager saying we'd like you to stay or we'd like you to go. But either way, we won't see Patrick Corgan in red again. All of the photographs that are in the papers are actually him taking a free. The ones that they've all gone for are the ones where it's a study of him with the ball floating and his eyes on the ball and this silhouette form. And they're always from the side. And it is just an amazing picture. It's like a pure craftsman who's done this millions and millions and millions and millions of times, locked in a moment where there's no outside, there's nothing except him, the ball, and the mastery of it. I think one of the pictures that from the one from the Times online is against Limerick. My favourite one is obviously the penalty that keeps him in it 2 years ago. That's like...
It's interesting, not to put a too fine point on it, but you would normally have, I suppose it's normally these retirements tend to come with All-Ireland days associated.
Yeah.
So you'd typically have trophy. It's interesting. It's, you know, because this doesn't often happen this way.
Somebody this, like the highest scorer in history.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. Like, it doesn't... But look, it's like it's harsh to go straight to that. But it is, yeah. It's I see it reading the Michael Moynihan's piece there in the back of the Examiner as well. Like it eventually comes up pretty quickly. It features.
He's spoken to him.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anybody else speaking to him just yet. But so Michael Moynihan in the Examiner is talking to him. He scored 2-9 last week for Glen Rovers.
Yeah, I think it's Middleton. They lost. And then after that, he felt free to be able to tell people. A good buddy of mine was at that game, actually. He said he was still scintillating. So there was a tinge of regret that Horgan stepped away, that he could have even provided the role of super sub or inspirational cameo over the next couple of years on the Ben O'Connor con for the last 20 minutes. But I don't think... I don't know. I mean, look, maybe he just... Maybe the passion was gone. And maybe the ego won't allow someone not to start a game, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, like, the reason...
Well, the thing that made him great.
Self-confidence is a big weapon of his. So I was just checking my notes there about, like, his tallies in the tail end of Cork's year in 2025, and I was... My memory of him against Dublin in the semi-final when Cork ran away with it was that I thought he was quiet enough. He actually scored 8 points, 6 of them frees. I did check back there. But the last indelible memory of him as a Cork player is the free miss at the start of the second half against Tipperary in this year's All-Ireland final that would have put Cork 7 points ahead, and then Horgan, along with the rest of the team, disappeared. And there was a moment midway through that second half in the final this year where Horgan gets subbed. And it's, you know, I wouldn't say it was premature because the game was already done. You know, you had a 20-minute heads up here that Tipperary were about to win the All-Ireland. And Horgan got subbed, and obviously Cork fans were extremely quiet in that second half. That was the one moment. That was the island in the second half when everybody stood up. And it was a standing ovation for Horgan going off, because there was an element of people are physically leaving their seats of the possibility that they're not going to see him in a Cork jersey again. But then I was reading, obviously we're all reading about him this morning, the tributes and the different perspectives on him. There's loads of stats there I can see right in front of you there in pink in the bottom right. The Irish Examiner have his best bits there, condensed nicely. But then I heard him speak with Dave McIntyre last August after the Clare defeat in that All-Ireland final. And Dave asked him straight up, like, what about 2025? And there was a fully enthusiastic response from Horgan. I was like, yeah, definitely. Hamstring issue aside, which Dave rightly said, well, that would be corrected soon. He said, yeah, I'll be back all right. So I wasn't surprised when the news came through yesterday evening, but I'm still a bit shocked. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because he nearly did everything. He didn't win Hurler of the Year. did get nominated in 2019, which wasn't a good year for Cork, but he was great. I remember there was a Dublin, I think I have the year right, where they played Dublin in the league and Cork were dreadful, but he was great. And there was a year particularly where he was really feeling like single-handedly doing it himself. This is Bukayo Saka Arsenal stuff, where he could have done with a bit of help. And then he's kind of left it Jurgen Klopp style in that, geez, there's a load of help now around him. But obviously they still went one short. So it's going to be the ultimate, and I guess over the next 24 hours, or next week, and probably in a Sunday paper review, this weekend, it'll be, you know, was he the greatest to never win it? But then you'll have the Waterford dads coming in, and there'll be debate, never ending, but there's no doubt about it that his impact was seismic, and two of those stats there in front of you, Jar, is top scorer in the championship, top scorer in the league.
25 goals, 674 points in the league. That's a record. That's a record. And then what are the championship scores? I actually don't have the full total there, but 4 All-Stars, 4 Munster Championships, National League medal, 2 Cork County senior titles in 15 and 16. I presume he'll continue to play club for the next 20 years. He'll be like, I'll move him out to midfield and let him catch balls and take frees. Championship scoring, 32 goals, 683 points. Like, is TJ Reid sitting there going, oh, put me in, coach. I'm one more season just to break the record.
TJ had the retirement draft written up and has deleted that now straight away. It was like, I'll give up one more year and get that record for myself. Plus, but you know, TJ has the All-Irelands, you know. But look, there's an element of regret. I think I would have liked to have seen him stay. But I spoke with a good few Cork people last night and it veered just towards right call. He's 38.
Yeah.
He's 38, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's been a vintage year for him.
It hasn't, no. He is part of the All-Star nominations this morning in the newspapers. He does make it.
Yeah. It's tough because it's not going to be an era, I'm guessing, that like Cork people will necessarily look back at. Do you know that kind of way? Like, it's not
the last few years,
the last 20 years. Like, it's not something that kind of when.
But it's his era, isn't it?
It's his era, and it's just unfortunately going to be one of those that kind of probably gets somewhat lost in the sands of time.
Perhaps, right? There is like they are, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but that Mayo team have come to be beloved as time has passed.
No, I know, but like it's not, we're not comparing like with like, are you? Is you're kind of looking at Kerry in that late 80s, early 90s period, or you're looking at...
Well, Morris Fitz is still built up, but then I suppose
he has his All-Ireland, but yeah. Like you have, or Dublin, like I suppose Cork can't equate to Mayo. The Mayo thing equates to Waterford.
What if there was a handy All-Ireland to be picked up over the next couple of years? Would you just bring him back and put him off the last 10 minutes?
Can you imagine if they won it next year? Can you imagine?
Yeah. Who'd that happen to Kieran Whelan, didn't it?
Kieran Whelan, yeah. was he like 1996 to like 2010 basically was Kieran Whelan. Like, it was, you know, absolutely heartbreaking for the guy. But you know, the first thing Horgan was asked in that interview there that you were quoting, Ger, you know, would he be watching the games? And he's like, yeah, you know, he'll return now to being a Cork fan like he was right up until the start of 2008 for the senior team. Because he mentioned watching Sean Ogg play against Dan Shanahan, and then obviously being teammate slash opponent then of the two boys later on. But this is a lover of the game, you know, not just a great player.
No, totally. Marking JJ, you're looking out the field at Tommy and Henry is around the place. Quality. Owen Kelly of Tip. I admired him for so many years down the park one time. Owen was playing against Cork and I was looking on from the sideline, delighted to be watching him afterwards. I got to play against him. It is like, you know, he does straddle these two eras of like a period of time where the game was very different from what it is now, but it was kind of the birth of what it is now.
Yeah.
I actually think his ego will be enhanced now in retirement, because as the years go by, I think people will praise how great of a player he was in a fallow period for the county and be like, well, you were great. And it won't help the fact that he's never done the ultimate. Both individually and collectively, he's missed out on the two big ones, but he's done everything else. And he has a scoring record. So he'll go down as an all-time great. And I think that part of the selfish part of anyone's ego, for Patrick Horgan, it will be, I think, secure for basically the rest of his life.
Oh,
but he's decided on his own terms, or whatever terms there were, that he's walking away from possibly doing the ultimate again. And that to me is interesting. And I just thought he had one more year. Because my first reaction last night was, you can't leave it like that. You can't leave it like the way it was against Tipperary.
That was your reaction to Pat Ryan going?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And now here we are. You know, it's funny, like half time in the All-Ireland final, two of the most important people in Cork hurling are there and you need them. And then a few weeks later, they're both gone. And most people are understanding of that decision. I'm probably in the minority where I wish they both stayed on.
People don't like change.
But at the same time, they got to do something different.
Yeah.
It's
not quite, like, you know, I was saying yesterday to Quinny on Monday, you know, the whole, like, Leinster rugby are pretty much great right up until the ultimate. Yannick Sinner says he has to change his game because of one player. Cork don't have that. Don't have the acumen, this Cork generation, of Sinner / Leinster. It's kind of the same idea, is that Cork, remember in the league this year, Cork were magnificent. The amount of goals they were scoring. And it was all tempered with, okay, wait for the championship, see what happens then. And then right up until half time, the game was like, well, everything about this Cork team is great this year. I know they had the Limerick game. They had the Limerick game, I know, but they responded to that Limerick game with the next one. And so they weren't perfect, but they were great. And then that second half against Tipperary, arguably rightly so, has made it seem like, well, really, where are this Cork team going? So actually, it's no harm changing a load of things. And I don't know if a half of any sport has ever had that much impact in how people view a team.
It's not like it's a 38-game season.
Yeah, you have like three or there to see something. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but like across that season, you have only a very few games of absolute consequence.
Totally.
So half
that's hurling, isn't it? That's the sport, not Cork.
But you have to analyse coldly what happened in the final. They were tactically outthought and they were physically outfought. That's not just one half.
It was a state of shock. I mean, there was no redeeming elements at all to do with that second half.
But it's not just the second half. Like in terms of the hooks,
they
didn't.
They played very poorly in the first half. But they were 6 points ahead. So the idea there is that you can improve on that in the second half.
Perhaps. But the scoreboard didn't reflect the balance of play and the bad decisions that Cork were making in lorrying ball down to the free man. It was like they got away with stuff. They scored a goal at the last second. That
a lot of great things do, though.
Put a gloss on it.
A lot of great teams get away with it on the scoreboard because of their raw talents that they go back on.
Okay. But Cork aren't a great team because they've never won an All-Ireland.
Yeah,
so you can't call them a great team and you can't say that they're a great team getting away with stuff until they've actually managed to become a great team. You're ascribing to them stuff which hasn't happened. They're getting credit for achievements that aren't theirs. I think that there's like there's an easy mistake, a trap to fall into, to Arthur's point. If you keep doing the same thing again and again and again and you don't get over the line, you're like, oh, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah, I don't know about doing the same thing repeatedly. I'm in agreement that Cork were not a quote-unquote great team, but they were on their way to it, potentially. So, like, they won the league this year for the first time since, what, the late 90s? They won Munster for the first time in 7 years.
The league doesn't betoken.
But it's a sport that has few games, relatively speaking, to the two sports I just compared it with in rugby and tennis. So Cork did pretty much everything they could this year, right up until the final. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the mini comparison. Do you see what I'm saying there with the comparison of the Leinster and Sinner thing?
I think
that right up until the ultimate, it was like, because it was so bad in the final,
Yannick
you
Sinner's
have to think about everything.
Record is it not 60-40 in favour of Alcaraz? It's not.
No,
like,
Alcaraz has a better record against Sinner.
Yeah, it's 60-40 Alcaraz. It's like, but it's not like 100-1.
It's not significant, but go on.
Like Leinster have a group of players who have won everything that the game has to offer, except the World Cup quarterfinal. You know, a lot of them have actually won the European Cup. A lot of them have won Grand Slams. A lot of them have won a Test series down in New Zealand. Like, you can't compare an Allianz Hurling League with a Test series in New Zealand.
I'm of course not doing that. And I said that the first thing I said when I brought those comparisons in was, it's not what they ultimately achieved. It's the idea of, something has to change, per Arthur's point, right?
Yeah, I think it's...
because of that one game, or even one half in a final. Because...
Do you remember...
They get to the final. When they get to the All-Ireland final, right? Sure, the build-up in this room right here was, sure, they're going to beat Tipperary, aren't they? You know, they're going to beat Tipperary.
100%.
Yeah, and exactly.
A lot of people seem to think that was facetious. It definitely wasn't.
So that was the thing. Certain. So we certainly weren't saying at that time, anybody was like, well, this Cork team needs to change. I mean, come on now. let's not rewrite history here.
Do you remember what Liam Cahill said, that he wanted the players to be able to make good decisions out in the field? And we talked about that and how that was interesting. It didn't feel like this Cork team were capable of doing that. And so,
but did you have that fear for Cork heading into the final?
But we didn't know what they were capable of, right? And then it gets exposed and you're like, oh, okay, so that's the truth of this. And it was getting exposed in the first half.
Yeah, see, I do think we know and knew what Cork were capable of. Like, we saw that, you know, one of the greatest sides to ever play the game, Cork have beaten them a few times in the last years. They are capable of the extraordinary. They are. They're also very much able to do what we saw in the final. And that's a Cork cultural flaw in the game. Now, we're talking about Cork overall here. We've moved away from the guy that we're supposed to be talking about. But they'll forever be linked.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
But Patrick Corrigan has this winning mentality.
He's their spiritual
and
leader.
And ultimate player that could belong in any team.
I was trying to think about it, like, and it's such a unique career for anyone who was in those big three counties. Like, so many lesser hurlers have picked up easier All-Irelands because they just kind of come along.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't get over that. Like, it's almost, well, it is, like, it's obviously unprecedented that someone would be so central to one of those counties for that long. I can't imagine it's ever happened. I don't know. Maybe somewhere in a kind of, there might be some gaps there, but like it's still like.
Do you look, say, for John Milan, Dan Shanahan, do you have the same regret on their behalf that they didn't win All-Ireland? Or are you comparing them differently?
Well,
I'd
have greater regret from their behalf because I feel it would have meant more to more people. Same for the players, but more to a greater number of people. But
it's getting close in Cork now.
It's crazy. Like
it's
with each passing year, the number of people who are
the annoyance turns to sympathy.
It's almost I've been honest about it. Like I feel sorry for him. It's a stupid thing to say because he's this amazing player, this amazing career. But like it's such a notable absence. Whereas if he had been a Waterford hurler or Limerick hurler up until recently, or Galway or whoever else, Wexford, like when Lee Chin retires, people will go, fantastic, great career.
Yeah.
All right, never got it. Had a big Leinster day. People won't necessarily hold it against them because there's no kind of history of it there. But for, it's funny you talk about it, like for Horgan, because I'm trying to think about it then, you're going down through the years and you're like, maybe his reputation grows, but he'll always be so unique amongst all his peers. Like, of all the guys who came before him, like, as you're talking about O'Halpine or Cusack and going back further generations, like, all these guys have multiples of medals. And I don't know, maybe he's fine. Maybe he's well enough adjusted that you deal with that and you compartmentalise it and it's just that sport.
All the Mayo lads seem totally fine.
But that's the thing, but the Mayo lads don't have any, it's not like there's a thing of winning there beforehand. It's not like you need to compare it. You need to ask Kieran Whelan.
Yeah.
Or you'd need to ask.
He seems okay.
No, he. Like,
it's not about their like well-being.
I just think it's a case of like you're coming from a place where if you said to Patrick Horgan, you're going to have an 18-year career in 2008, how many All-Irelands will you win?
Yeah,
five.
Yeah.
You're like, you're at a minimum.
Yeah, totally. You know? Like, I mean, this is just more like of a game to play, but would he have got into the 15 for Kilkenny speak under Cody and Limerick under Kylie?
I think.
Are you talking that level?
Yeah, I think it seems to have been like
what happens is in that environment, he raises his game even further. Mm. Like you know, there's no doubts about him as a.
Does he have a better mentality than Cork?
Which
does he have a better mentality than Cork as a collective?
Well, it's interesting, and we'll put this to John Myler. But you were saying in John Myler's book, Arty, you found the quote earlier. Talk amongst yourself.
I have it here.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so it's from Flesh and Blood, the book they did. John and David did it together, didn't they, with Fernando O'Toole? And the line from John Myler was, JBM is still the greatest forward I've seen, but Hoggy is one of the best Cork have produced. In my 2 years in charge of Cork, I couldn't fault him any day. I fault myself for not creating an All-Ireland winning side around him. He didn't let me down, I let him down.
Yeah, powerful. Powerful words. And that's when I go back to the ego thing about it's going to be enhanced and secured for the rest of his life, because I think that would be thrown to him, you know, if Patrick Horgan goes down the media route and he's covering games and a new talent emerges among the forwards of any major county in the country, they're going straight to Patrick Horgan. What's that like?
Well, the records, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see. He's talked about wanting to get involved in coaching. He talked about Decky O'Sullivan changing his game around 2016 and teaching him how to be a better hurler, and he's been a sponge for information around that. So I don't think this is the end of him as a hurling man at any point. I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see him involved at certainly a club level quickly, and then at inter-county level very soon into the future. You mentioned the All-Stars. Tip have 13 nominations. Cork have 11. John McGrath and Jake Morris are up for Hurler of the Year from Tip. Brian Hayes of Cork. Mm-hmm. So Jake Morris, I think, was the favourite if Tipperary win heading into the final. John McGrath's final was a final for the ages.
I think they'll give it to McGrath.
It's one of those, Jake Morris isn't just up against John McGrath this year. It's like, what a career he's had, you know?
Yeah.
We have a shout out to Stakenham and Farrell for Tipperary, not among the nominations. Neither are the Downey Brothers for Cork or Dermot Healy either.
Adam English, Darren McCarthy and Robert Doyle are in the running for Young Hurler of the Year.
Oh, English was very good, wasn't he? Wasn't a vintage Limerick year, obviously, but he was great.
He was great. He nailed down a position and kept it, knocking out some all-timers from the team. But
they won't give it to him.
Feels like the narrative arc of McCarthy's year is just too good to ignore.
McCarthy's just fascinating.
Imagine if they were like, oh, sorry, you got sent off, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean,
there used to be a rule that if you got sent off during the year, you couldn't be an all-star.
Yeah. Totally. Like, it's absolutely amazing.
Are there still some codgers around who are like,
was it, like 62 and a half minutes on the clock or whatever it was against Kilkenny in the semi-final, and McCarthy's on the bench on the verge of understandable tears with his head bowed down saying, I've just blown this for my county. Fast forward a few weeks and he's part of the of a glorious winning team. Like, it's amazing, this sport. Darren McCarthy and Cork flipped positions in the most spectacular fashions.
And he's
both semi-finals into the final.
Yeah.
He's still a kid and he has a lot of talent. What a year, to get sent off when the ball was thrown in against Cork back at the start of the year, to that semi-final, to his performance in that semi-final before that and the final as well.
Friday, November 7th at the RDS, we'll find out who all of those are. The football team will be announced then.
The RDS?
I thought it was in the
Convention Centre of Losses.
Yeah, Convention
Centre have Losses.
I thought it was a Convention Centre thing.
It was something, one of them, they were given out, one of the places recently was a bit of, the Convention Centre I think had been good. Was it the RDS? Anyway, sure, I guess we'll wait and see.
You always talk about this. You know, if the strike hadn't happened.
Oh, here we go.
Right.
Stick this on TikTok.
No, but if it hadn't happened, because you always wonder about this. Like,
yes.
They kind of lost that ground and never made it back up. And I'm just trying to think of all those other kind of, so many of those hurlers with those great long careers, like they get that All-Ireland early.
And Tommy Walsh always says,
Getting the early
All-Ireland is a transformative moment for you, because it becomes easy after that.
Exactly. So you think of even recently, all those Limerick lads, they're like 19, 20. That's done. That's boxed away. Don't have to worry about that. That's just one of those. I just wonder. Hopefully he does. If he came out and was really honest and forthright about the whole thing, I'd love to know what it was like each passing year.
Yeah, well, maybe he's at peace with what happened, because if this is entirely Patrick Horgan's decision to step away, and let's say it is, he is deciding that he's not going to win an All-Ireland, though. That is his decision made. You know, so obviously he accepts that decision.
What age would all the Cork lads have been in 09? So they 99, they were still under 21 or 22. They would still have been kind of 31, 22, they looked after themselves, running on Christmas Day, as we famously know. That would have been a proper tripartite golden era of the reassertion of the dominance of the big three versus the revolution years a decade earlier. And I don't know, I think it's indisputable that the strike cost us some of the greatest matches of all time that we'll never know existed.
Is it unfair, I wonder? Like, I just don't know how else to reflect on it.
Which?
On Horgan's career, because it's a
I think you can have two columns that are very defined. You talk about the player and what he individually achieved, and you're talking one of the greats. That's one of the most fulfilled careers you can ever have individually. But he's part of a team that underachieved enormously. And if you put them in a washing machine together and take them out, you get Patrick Horgan.
Because I do wonder, right, if you look at it, and it's different for like DJ Reid, right? But it's funny, like, he hasn't won an All-Ireland in 10 years. The way things are going, he probably won't win another one. Who knows? prove us wrong, whatever, probably won't win another one. Also, obviously has all the club success in that time as well. But it is quite funny that how different are their careers if not for the fact that he caught on to the end, the tail end of an amazing thing.
A timing is everything.
Picked up loads of medals. Like he was great. I'm not saying he was a passenger by any stretch. But it's an interesting kind of dynamic that it's just timing.
Yeah.
Like if Patrick Horgan's 5-6 years older, gets in the end of that, like it's just, I don't know, like
I think like
maybe they don't worry about it.
Like ultimately this is a celebration, isn't it? And it's not a lament. I mean, you know, you're talking about the top 1%ers of individually talented, gifted hurlers who actually fulfill their potential individually. But he'll have the heartbreak to contend with. Of course he will. You know, 2013, the first game against Clare, 2 minutes of out of time, 72-20. Clare get their score. You know, if the referee had decided something else that day, he would have won his All-Ireland 5 years into his senior inter-county career. 2024 will forever be devastating against Clare again. Devastating. But I would argue that what's more heartbreaking than either of those and, you know, the other All-Ireland finals, that's fair enough. I would say this year was the most gut-wrenching because of just how insipid they were in the second half and how poorly they represented themselves. And he trudges off with about 20 minutes to go and there's a standing ovation and that's how he leaves it. That's, for me, the heartbreak alone in the story of Patrick Horgan. But him as a hurler, if you just talk about his hurler, his highlights will live forever. You'll still be talking about this guy as a player throughout the years. Whatever about this Cork era in the last 20, that might be forgettable in the next generation and the generation after people. But Patrick Horgan will be discussed.
I think probably because there are so many people interested in Cork hurling and it has such a narrative power that actually is true, that that will persist. In the fallow period, he'll be the one thing that people talk about.
The people mentioned Brian Robson the other morning, you know. Brian Robson was at United for 13 years and won a league title right at the end when he was a squad player. You know, it doesn't completely define you. People still talk about Brian Robson in glowing terms.
They do.
People will talk about Patrick Horgan the same.
Brian Robson scored the fastest goal in a World Cup match, though. You know,
Patrick Horgan has championship records and league records.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm saying is that there was another team that Brian Robson played for that made him an even bigger celebrity.
Fair enough, but Patrick Horgan obviously didn't have that opportunity.
Exactly, that's my point.
Really, the cup was gone.
So we're in agreement.
Sorry, the other thing is the pre-season inter-county competitions are going to come back for next year. Last week, it looked like they'd been cancelled again. And then all the provincial council like, no, we like our money. Thank you. People like to see the games, it turns out, as well. We haven't talked about Liverpool. What was Ekitike doing getting sent off?
That was pretty funny. For people who missed this, got a second yellow card after he scored the goal for taking off his jersey. Why is that rule in? Is it because we're a bit precious and we don't want people seeing
no nipples? No, you can't see them.
Yeah, Under Armour on.
No nips. I thought it was to prevent people showing political messages.
I'm sure it's a combination of many things. It's also like a suppression of young, largely men who want to exhibit exuberance in a moment of passion.
We want this game to be PG, so keep your clothes on. Either way, stupid rule, but silly decision by Ekitike.
Madness.
So he is now suspended, but it'll only be one game because it's two yellows. So they beat Southampton 2-1. Ryan Manning played that game. Elsewhere, right?
Zunu did not play that game.
Zunu didn't play. Fulham beat Cambridge 1-0 last night. This is the EFL Cup third round, by the way. Lincoln City were 1-0 up against Chelsea, but Chelsea won 2-1. Two quick goals at the very start of the second half. Wolves beat Everton 2-0 in the All Premier League game last night. Check this out for Everton, right? Three Irish lads in the starting 11 last night. Matt Travers in goal. He actually made a decent save leading to the first Wolves goal, but it was panned back out and they scored from that. Jacob Ryan played in his now customary right back position. Seamus Coleman played left back.
Ooh, are you watching? Hamer
played left back last night. Didn't work out too well.
Got hiked after 78 minutes for Mikulenko.
Connor Hogan's Barnsley got destroyed at home to Brighton and Hove Albion 0-6. Diego Gomez for Brighton, signed from Inter Miami in January, scored 4 goals last night. The middle 2 goals are 2 of the most extraordinary strikes you'll see all year, particularly his hat-trick goal on 33 minutes. I implore people, if you haven't seen this, type in Diego Gomez, that's Gomez with a Z, on your favourite social media platform and watch this goal. It's a first time half volley hit, 30 odd yards out, slices into the top corner. His first strike is also beautiful. So that was 6-0 to Brighton. and elsewhere, and this will be pertinent for the show today. Cardiff City, in on paper, the shock of the night when the Premier League's Burnley and Turf Moor and won 2-1. They were 2-0 up at half time. Hung on after Burnley half the deficit 10 minutes into the second half. What a time it's been for Brian Barry Murphy in Cardiff City. They did lose at the weekend, but other than that, been a great start to his tenure.
Manager of the month as well. I mean, obviously the big news from his perspective wasn't that they managed to beat Premier League Burnley. It was the retirement of Hoggy, so we might ask about that as well. Come here, I haven't...
Asking which is bigger.
Pardon my ignorance. Has the draw been made yet for the fourth round?
Well, there are still more third round games tonight.
Yeah, probably after
there are another four games tonight.
Okay.
Huddersfield, Man City, Newcastle, Bradford, Tottenham, Doncaster and Port Vale, Arsenal are your games tonight. Europa League as well starts this evening.
Takes place on Wednesday, 24th of September, yeah. After the conclusion of the game between Port Vale and Arsenal. Yeah, Nottingham Forest in European action for the first time in 30 years, 40 years? Against Betis tonight.
Yeah. Forest against Betis. That'd be a good game.
30 years.
8 p.m. Anthony against Premier League.
Postecoglou still winless.
Celtic, of course, in action against Red Star. Evan Ferguson's Roma play Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Could be nice for Ev.
Hey.
Get his first goal. Nice aren't great. Oh. This, yeah. And what else? Rangers against Genk. Russell Martin's Rangers. Aston Villa play Bologna tomorrow.
Russell Martin's Rangers still. That is amazing.
Fair play. I mean, that goes to show, you know, if funds are an issue for you, you got to keep Russell Martin in charge. That's the bottom line.
Incroyable.
Let that be a business line from now on, you know. If the money's not there, you got to keep Russell Martin in charge.
The money is there. The 49ers are rich. They have all the money in the world.
So yeah, that's your action. It's your football. It's your football report.
We'll talk a bit more about the Steelers versus the Vikings. Unfortunately, the Vikings quarterback is injured. It would have been actually a very exciting game if he hadn't. But they did. They did win at the weekend. The Steelers won at the weekend. So they're both riding into town, relatively excited about things. I think one of them are staying.
Where are they staying?
One of them's in Carton House and one's in the Shelburne.
Ooh.
It'd be a slightly different experience. That was
good. God, how many people? They must be taking up every room in the place.
Oh, yeah, I'd say potentially close enough to it. Because it's a...
It's not that big of a hotel. Like
53-man game day roster and then yeah. You bring subs and then you have all the backroom team.
That is a weird place to go. That's not at all... You can't do anything. You're kind of a... Unless, I suppose, maybe you've factored in you're going to Phoenix Park, but you're not doing any work around in there. But
some of them are training in... I think they're training out in Abbotstown, so you could...
Okay, yeah. Well, that's cool.
Dublin will be festooned with American glamour. Ryder Cup opening ceremony moved over storm threat. Excited? Not about the storm, of course, but Ryder Cup. Will it be a European storm? I hope everyone stays safe. But, you know, will it be a European storm? In the
America's going to batter Europe, aren't they?
Well, Miracle Medina's 12 years old now. We're waiting for another one. The FAI faced frosty reception over Aractus U-turn. Association insists they meant no disrespect when pulling out of a meeting. The FAI will start today's appearance in front of the Aractus Committee on Sport by insisting that no disrespect was intended when they pulled out of this scheduled appearance last Friday before performing a U-turn on the eve of their planned visit to government buildings. That's this afternoon. We'll have that in the show tomorrow.
Yeah, Ryder Cup build-up. Just keep an eye out for the grandstanding politicians who have not spent their time caring about football up to this point. But now with the opportunity to stick the boot in.
It must be irresistible all the same.
Yeah, but like it's a...
Great thrill to it.
Look at the people who are doing it. Just
the pageantry.
Check their track record when it comes to political achievements and their investment in sports.
We
see who they are before you're like, oh yeah, the FAI, they're morons, aren't they? Which is what everybody will be saying afterwards. Like, oh, typical FAI, couldn't organize, piss up in a brewery. But actually, it'll be a bunch of politicians who've decided to grandstand at another Aractus committee who've done nothing for football over the last period of time that they've been in power. So just keep that in mind before you jump to, the morons of the FAI, look at them, what? Right, fair enough, yeah, whatever.
Can I just say, I know we have to move on, but what's the actual point of these Aractus committees? What's gained from them?
Grandstanding politicians.
No, seriously.
I'm not joking, Colm.
Because Arthur, you were saying there's an element of pageantry to them, and I think it actually is a performance.
It could be a really important part of our democracy. But we decided, in our wisdom, a couple of years ago, when we were offered the opportunity in a referendum to strip them of power, and partly that was to do with how much of a screw up they made of it when they invited somebody in and then went far too far. Because they didn't have the power to it, and cost us, the taxpayer, about £500,000. And so what the FAI were saying was there's a criminal case on. There's a criminal case on, and your track record here as a government and as an agent of the state is not great when it comes to like not fully knowing what the rules are. Because you're not lawyers, in fairness. None of them are actually qualified lawyers. Oh, we're parliamentarians. We know exactly what we can and can't do. It turns out you didn't. In the past, you didn't. And you cost the country £500,000 and more and kind of ruined the ability of raucous committees to achieve anything in the past. If I was the FA, I'd be like, hang on a second now. What if somebody stupid asked a question and it gets somebody off on the basis that they can no longer get a fair trial? Yeah, what if that happens?
And it's very likely.
Well, it's not very likely.
Very likely.
There's a possibility.
Nailed on.
There's a possibility it might happen, right? And if that happens, who's going to take the responsibility for that? Not the politicians who are like, I thought we were under parliamentary privilege. Are we not? Well, you are, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to have an impact in the court case.